1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Elijah, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Praise the Lord. And so my message is a question this afternoon. Are you a closer? Closers have been a part of, if you excuse me to use a sports analogy, amen. I know Paul never used sports analogies or sarcasm, so I'm going to try using one. A relief pitcher is one who specializes in pitching to the final batters of a game if the pitcher's team has the lead. And the term has been used also within basketball, especially in the last few years, and it is a term for that player who, when it's all on the line, Brother Scott, is the person who steps up and you give the ball to that individual. And they will take the last shot or they will carry you through the last moments of the game. And it's the belief that they are the person, they're the closer on the team that can deliver a victory. So are you a closer? Amen. Look at your neighbor and ask, are you a closer? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, we're so thankful. Oh God, that your Spirit, you're moving upon us as fresh and new all the time. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide and be with us in this service. Oh Jesus. And allow us to solidify our commitments. Allow us to solidify our calling. And allow us to close. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruth is an individual, and you may be seated, who was a closer. And closing is not always something that takes place within your life where I closed, and then that was the end of it. We moved on to the next activity or so on. Closing is a process within your life where you make some decisions that I'm going to do something. And when you make those decisions, you live with the consequences. That's a closer. And you know, I'm not going back on the commitment I made. I closed upon it. That's how things are going to be. You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and he was a closer. He closed on that decision, and he did not back off from it. Scripture talks about some ladies parting ways with their mother-in-law, who was of the children of God. Her daughters-in-law were of a different ethnicity, and they had a period where they were saying goodbye. They had a time where they were saying goodbye. And Scripture said that these daughter-in-laws lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Hallelujah. And what the world tells you about the things of God, what the world tells you about anything, is to just follow after your desires, follow after the flesh, follow after whatever feels good in the moment, follow after that given thing that is your what you desire at that time. And what it ends up being, both in your experience spiritually. You know, that was a thrill. That was a roller coaster ride. That was good for that time. And so what it ends up being is just a kiss. Just a kiss. I had a terrific youth camp. I cried. I made some commitments and so forth. But it was just a kiss for that time. The other daughters-in-law were not closers. They were not going to bring themselves and sanctify themselves, separate themselves, and move into this relationship that could only be had as an Israelite with God. They chose that, you know, it was fun. It was a part of our lives that we had. It was a phase, if you will. But we're going to give a kiss, and we're going to move on. And young people, this relationship with God has to be more than a kiss. And that's what the world tells you. Follow after your desires. And if you get into alcoholism, and it's just a kiss, you enjoy it for a little while, and then it takes you down into depression, and it takes you down to where you can't hold down a job, and you can't keep your family, and so on. And it was something that destroys you. The part of it that was desirable was just a kiss. It only lasted for a moment. The exciting part of it was gone so fast. Relationships. Your boyfriend, I can guarantee you, that is worldly, just desires a kiss. Just wants to try on the clothes, but he doesn't want to close upon it. Doesn't want to be willing to step out and have the boldness to buy it and say, we were going to be married, and we're going to be married forever until death do us part. Amen. There's not that closer within the world. There's not a closer mentality. Let's hook up, let's shack up, and let's break up is a mentality, because this feels good for now. Let's just try it on. But Ruth had a greater unction within her. And she said in chapter 1, verse 15, behold, but Ruth clave to her, and her mother-in-law is telling her, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and under her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. But Ruth will say, where you go, I will go. Ruth would say, where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Not just for the moment, not just for a kiss, but your God will be my God for how long? Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Praise God. I am going to die with this thing. Ruth is a closer. Praise God. I have made that decision, and I'm not going to back up on it. And her next period of her life was not one spent enjoying luxury. She didn't come to God and come to the people of God and enjoy luxury. She was a little bit more than a beggar. She was out in the fields gathering for hours and hours, putting in a full day's work, gathering. Why? Because she was a closer. I have found what I need, and I don't care if it means not getting any credit. I don't care if it means going back to my church and just changing the trash cans and making sure that everything is clean and helping my pastor set up or different things of that nature. I don't care what it is. I just want to be around the people of God. And it's going to be until my death. A closer has a mentality. They're not afraid of failure. They're not afraid of hardships. Listen to this. One of the greatest closers. When the game is on the line, you want that ball in the hands of one Michael Jordan. But this is what he would say about his experiences closing. And this was prior to his retirement. The number would have grown. But this is what he said. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot. 26 different times, we're going to our closer. We're going to Jordan. Here's the ball. Do you want us to set a screen? What do you want us to do? We're at your disposal. We know that you can win the game. We know that you can take us to victory. And he said, on 26 occasions, I missed. I took that shot and missed. And everybody, we deal with failure. We come face to face with failure. Failure both in myself and in falling to the flesh and falling to my own desires and perhaps not staying devoted as I should, not being as strong as I should in my walk. There are failures, and sometimes I just get beat over the head with things that happen in my life, disasters, a death here, this person betraying me here, this person walking away here. But a closer just says, give me the ball. I don't care if I miss the last 20 shots. Give me the ball. That's why Scripture says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, Sister Stephanie. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, because when I fall, praise God. A non-closer says, I've fallen, I should quit, I'm out of here. I had my kiss, the thrill is gone now, there's no great feeling anymore, I'm out of here. But a closer says, no, don't rejoice against me, because when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, when I'm all alone, praise God, when there's not the thrill of youth camp anymore, when there's not these talented musicians anymore, and I'm all alone sitting in darkness, when the bad report has come, hallelujah, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That's a closer. I may be down a little bit, but I'm going to get it next time. Devil, you may have hurt me a little bit, but I'm going to annihilate you next time. You just wait. Give me the ball. Hallelujah, I'm a closer. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. And we look at a closer in 2 Samuel 23, verse 9. This is a finisher. This is a person not backing down on the battlefield. It says Eliezer, one of the three mighty men with David. Describing this mighty man, and this is what they did. It said they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. They were doing some trash talk. They were gloating a little bit. They were being cocky a little bit because they knew the God that they served. But something happened. It says after they defied the Philistines, after they taunted them, after they provoked them to battle, it says the men of Israel were gone away. For whatever reason, they left. They were gone. Perhaps they had to go to another battle. Perhaps, as some translations say, they just plain retreated. They realized that the battle was too great. But it says, Eliezer arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, which means he couldn't let go of the sword if he wanted to after a while. This was his life source. If I don't hang on to this sword, I am going to die. And it's so appropriate that Ephesians 6:17 likens the Spirit to the sword. It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And in this era, you are a closer when you hang on to that word. I don't care how politically incorrect it is. I don't care who it offends. I don't care. This is my life source. I am going to be destroyed if I don't hang on to the word. I'm going to be destroyed if I don't hang on to these commandments. This is my life sword. And it says the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him. Praise God. Somebody say, give me the ball. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm a closer. Now, don't say that if you don't plan about being with us. Don't say that if you don't plan on being a member with us next year. You're not a closer. I'm looking for closers. Praise God. I've had the pretenders, but I'm looking for closers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for somebody that leaves because they have a couple questions. I'm not looking for somebody that leaves because I didn't feel the power when the days got a little bit colder and got a little bit shorter and got darker and I was a little bit alone and I had to fly back to my village or fly back to my island or go back to my church where those people pick on me and so on, Brother Scott. I'm looking for a closer. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And this is where we've been. This is the presence of God that we've been in. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 and 8. And a closer takes their experiences, Brother Scott, and uses them into greater experiences. They use their experiences to continue to walk on into greater things with God. And here's an individual that had an experience like what we've had. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6 says, one of the seraphs, boy, that had to be something else. I wonder what they looked like. That had to be quite an amazing experience. It says, he flew to me with alive coal. That baby was alive. That baby was hot. That thing was shimmering. And I'm so thankful with all the hurt and with all the despair and questions and everything that I brought to youth camp and many of you brought to youth camp. You wouldn't believe you it would absolutely break your heart to read. We had prayer sheets up here during the all-night prayer and reading some of these needs. You know, my family is torn apart. The so-and-so's in jail. There's alcoholism going on. And you know, I'm a foster kid, and I've been through four different families. And these are some of the prayer needs that we had, but they turn into such great testimonies. And I brought these needs to this youth camp, and it was amazing, the live coal, that the saturation of the Spirit that just moved all over this place and touched us. Praise God. I'm so thankful that God meets us at our point of need. And so it's a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So like us, Isaiah's sins are atoned for, Sister Nelson. And we're talking about a touch straight from God. Like the Holy Ghost that touches our mouth and changes our speech. And it removed all the iniquity, the experience that we've had. And so there's a choice that's to be made here. I've been renewed. I've been purged. I've been set free from sin. Now, what do I do with that? Is it going to just be a kiss? Or am I going to be a closer? And Scripture would continue, and we would get God asking a question. You see, even God asks for a closer. Even God needs somebody to do the work for him and to close this thing out. God needs somebody not just to receive forgiveness of sins, not just to receive the Holy Ghost, but to live for him and to be a closer, that you're not going to step back when things get tough. You're not going to turn your back when things get difficult. And so the word from God is, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I've poured out my blessing. I've given atonement for sin. And there's no greater closer in the world than Jesus Christ. You want to talk about somebody who came dedicated and absolutely closed the deal. Hallelujah. Coming to earth in time. Becoming poor to make others rich. Refusing to back down from any of the pain that he took just in his first 30 years, living poor, working so hard, waiting and waiting for the time of his calling of which he would begin his ministry, waiting for that time, and then within that ministry, having no place to live, having no guarantee of a meal, and yet he would continue to pour out miraculous works, and then his suffering. And then refusing even the smallest of painkiller while he hung on Calvary. What a closer. And so God is saying to us, I've poured out my blessing. I've given atonement for sin. Who's going to close for me? And this, I hope, is your prayer. This is what I hope is your mindset. And this is Isaiah. You know, I might not be from a preacher's family. I'm so appreciative of these different individuals. We had several minister throughout youth camp, and so thankful for Brother Scott, who sits as our secretary. So thankful for Kara and the word that she said, that you don't have to be from a preacher's background in order to take this on. You don't have to be in order to be a closer. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And it was so one of the most beautiful things, scenes I've ever seen. Last night at the altar, when my daughter would come marching up to the altar and raise her hands, and I remember I was just about that age when I felt the first touch of God with just tears pouring down, and I had to have people let me know what was happening. Raise your hands. And I remember hugging Bishop Blackshear, and they were there right there, and here is my daughter, and over comes Pastor Jim Blackshear to lay hands on her, and her uncle's there, and her grandma's there praying for her. Such a beautiful scene. Amen. And I'm so thankful. What a beautiful scene it was at youth camp when the spitting image of Brother Terry Cox used to minister so vibrantly to us this camp. His son, the next generation, would minister in such a powerful and wonderful way. I'm so thankful for that heritage. And I plan on being a closer in this thing. I plan on being a closer. I've experienced too much. But I'm also thankful for those people like Isaiah that say, you know, I'm just very simple. I might not have a great heritage, but here am I, God. Send me. I will be your closer. Going to Genesis chapter 50, verse 24. It said, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It says, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And as has been explained to us many times, Egypt is a type of the world. And very quickly, no matter what was done for them by Joseph, Joseph was renamed Zaphnath-Paaneah by the king of Egypt, by the Pharaoh. And that name meant savior of the world. This man in his revelation from God saved us. He saved us. We would have died within the famine, but he saved us. And so quickly, the world, Egypt, would forget Joseph. So quickly there would raise up new kings that would say, Joseph is not needed anymore. We don't need his revelation. We don't need his words anymore. He's just a bag of bones somewhere, Brother Rathbun, and we don't need it. And the people of God would become imprisoned within the world. And the words of Joseph were so worthless. They were so not needed as in this day, the day that we live in today. The word of God, Brother Scott, is no longer efficient. That word, that revelation from yesterday. And Joseph is here and he represents our forefather. And upon his coffin is written the words that he would say. And those words said, it doesn't matter how much bondage we're in. It doesn't matter how angry Pharaoh is at you, you will go into a different land. And my question is from the forefather. The question is, will I have a closer that will take what I believed in, that will take the words that I stood for, that will take the revelations I received and bring me into the promised land? Is there a young person that is a closer today that would be willing to stand up and say, I will take the older generation's word, I will take what they stood for, and I will bring them into the promised land. I don't care what the world says about it. I don't care how much the world has forgotten these words. I don't care if they desecrate it. I am going to take this heritage into the promised land. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a generation that needs some closers, Brother Lindley. That those bones represented the wishes and the desires of Joseph's generations, the desires of a dreamer, the desires of an individual who went through the pain, went through the suffering, and gave great victory to his people. And we have so many great patriarchs, and I'll use that term patriarchs among us, who have suffered for this, who have built this thing up, who have been the lady in the dress, who have been the lady that looks so different, Brother Scott, who take ridicule for that, who lose friends for that, who lose people for that, but they've stood up and their prayers are represented here. There's so many prayers at this altar. And there's so many dreams that are given by the people who have gone on from us. So many dreams from Brother Kenneth French. So many prayers from Sister Louise French that are prayed here. And they're asking, when you go into the promised land, when you go into that next step, take us with you. I'm looking for a closer who can realize my dreams. That was Joseph's last dream. My last dream is that you'll take us out of here. Take my bones with you. Is there a closer who can take those dreams and realize them for our last generation? Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. Close your eyes right now. We have to get this. There's got to be an understanding of where we sit. I don't think we have an understanding of the hour that we're in. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. We're in an era where people are taking the very pedestals that were just handed to them. They're taking a church. They're taking a people. They're taking a building. They're taking everything that's just handed to them, and they're becoming a pastor of that church. And then they're saying, no, I don't need to take the bones of the person that gave this to me. I don't need to take the word of the person that gave it to me. I don't need to take the heritage of the lady in the dress that built this thing up, of the man of God that built this thing up. I can leave that behind, and I'm going to take this congregation with me. Oh, Jesus. One of them called my brother up the other day and said, your problem is your message. There's a problem with your message, and there's a problem with your delivery. That's the era we believe that we live in. And we're not just leaving, but we're mocking this thing. We leave and we mock the United Pentecostal Church that's handed us so much. We mock the manual. We mock what's in there. And we're not willing to take that. And there's something wrong with your message. Amen. And what Greg should have told him is, man, it's worked for you all this time. You've stolen my notes for how long now? Praise God. So many of us ministers who steal from him all the time. Praise God. I like to think he just gives it to me. Praise the Lord. But the generation is needing a closer. Praise God. And so in Exodus 13, 19, Moses would be Joseph's closer. And he took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And those bones would move through the miraculous. Those inscriptions, those words that are represented upon that coffin, they would go through every new battle that the church would face, that the people of Israel would face, and they would see the miraculous. They would come up against things they'd never come up against. They would come up against that annihilation, and they would be at that Red Sea, but we believe these bones are coming with us. We believe the words of Joseph and the great things that would be seen. And if we could hold to the words, if we could hold to the doctrine of what people have placed for us, if we could hold to it and be willing to be a closer, it's going to help us through. It's going to take us through. And we're going to see the miraculous like never before. When we come up against the Red Sea, what the world is sending our way, when we come up against those armies that fight against us and determined to take us down, we're going to see the miraculous. We're going to see the waters part. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need closers. Within our district, we need closers. We need people who say, I am going to be buried here. This is my spot. This is where I'm going to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Closers. Joseph needed a closer. Moses needed a closer. Joshua 24:32 says, the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Those bones made it into the promised land. Going back to 2 Samuel 23, talking about Eleazar and the great battle that he was a part of. I noticed not only that he clave to the sword, but I noticed, Scripture says, who was with him at that time. It says Eleazar, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. He's with David. And so that means David retreated. David left. David went away from the battle. Something caused him to go. And there is no way in the world it was fear. There's no way you could tell me it was fear that left David. David's a giant killer. David's a slayer. I'll tell you what made him leave. Is there comes a time when we have to let the next generation fight the battles. David needed a closer. And there's so many ministers among us who are getting up in years, and it's not their job anymore to pray all everybody through. It's not their job anymore to have to pray all night. It's not their job anymore to have to do cheerleading to get us to worship and to get us to into the right frame of mind. It's not their job anymore to knock the doors. There comes a point when they need to have a closer that's willing to step up and say, go ahead, Pastor. You can go ahead and do some other things. I've got this. I've got this battle. I'll take care of this situation for you. I'll step up for you. You don't need to take out that trash, Pastor. I've got it. I'll be your closer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. David needed a closer. Hallelujah. And as we talk and we look at some of our ministers this day, and we would ask him, you know, who's going to be his closer? Who's going to take over for you? We can't have our pastors ministering into their 80s and 90s. We need some young men and women who are able to step up and be closers. I can step up and I can take and help with this church, and I can become a pastor, and I can take over for this church. So many areas that we have that we need ministered to. Praise God. Who's willing to be a closer? Elijah went through a difficult time in his life, and God would recall him and give him, let's all stand, would give him some things that he needed to do, would give him some final commandments. We read in our text, 1 Kings 19:15, and the instructions were simple. The Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and there's three people I need you to anoint. You need to anoint Hazael, you need to anoint Jehu, and you need to anoint Elisha. Three people. Praise God. And Elijah would only do one of those things. He would only accomplish one of those commandments. That's all he was able to do. So did he disobey? Did he not fulfill his calling? Did he fail? No. He anointed the closer. I'm not going to be able to do all of this, Elisha. There's dreams that I have that just can't be fulfilled within my ministry. There's things I desire to do, but I just don't have the strength to do them anymore. And so he anointed a closer named Elisha. And Elisha would anoint Hazael. Elisha would anoint Jehu. Praise God. And the biggest thing they battled against, which they battled against, everyone since then has battled against, and we will continue to battle against it. Jezebel was the great adversary. She represented everything worldly. She represented everything of confirmation or conforming to the things of this world. Paint yourself up. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. She represented that enemy that we face today. And Jezebel is throughout the Kings, and you'll also find her in the book of Revelation. God describes the spirit of Jezebel affecting the church, Brother Lindley. Spirit of Jezebel fighting against the church. And Scripture says Elijah had a closer that was able to take over for him. And not only take over for him, but see more miraculous things. And he was able to anoint Jehu. And it was Jehu who would finally be a closer that was able to get to Jezebel and destroy Jezebel. He would tell them, throw her down. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I wonder if our district board members can come up and stand around the front of the altar here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, would you work upon us, God? God, would our minds be made up in this place? I'm not just messing around. This is not just a phase in my life, but I'm going to be buried here. Praise God. Of our district board, I wonder if you could raise your hand if you were a pastor's son. Raise your hand. Praise God. That's so beautiful, so wonderful. We have pastor's sons among our district board fulfilling that inheritance. These are closers. These are closers. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll notice half raised their hand and the other half did not. We have a perfect amount represented here of those that come from the inheritance and those that put it on and said, give me the ball. Give me the ball. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A great pitcher, name of Josh Gibson, was recognized as one of the top, not just pitchers, but top players of the 20th century. And they ran down all the other contemporaries and pitchers and so on that were within that list with him. And they said, man, so-and-so threw harder than you, and this person had a little bit more on their curveball than you, and so on, and this person had this, and this person had that. Josh, if there was to be the most important game, if there was like a game 7 in the World Series, which of these would you throw out there? And he quickly just laughed and said, give me the ball. I'm a closer. And you may be in that kind of situation here where you feel like, you know, I don't have a whole lot to give. I don't have many skills, and like Isaiah, you know, I've had my sins forgiven and so on, but I don't bring a whole lot to the table. But when you're a closer, you just say, give me the ball. And we have the greatest closer at our disposal. We have the Spirit of God, and when we follow those commandments, He works for us. He works through us, and we can win great battles. And when we're like Moses and like Joshua and we say, I'm going to take these bones with me. I'm going to take these dreams represented by these men here with me. I'm going to take the word that they stood for with me. You will see the waters part.